It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Badger and Packer Gary Ellerson, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Gary Ellerson Homer Hour. Gary Ellerson is on assignment, so filling in. 85 or 86, I started working for a radio station in Madison. Let's see, I can't even think what the station's name was. WIBA, maybe? Probably the same one now. That's pretty sad. The best in the city were Tom Oates and Mike Lucas. The best. No one even close. I watched, read everything they did because I thought, if I want to know what's going on, I'm going to follow these guys. So was it last week we had on Mike Lucas?
Last week, yes.
Yeah, last week. So today it's Tom Oates, and I don't know how many Hall of Fames and everything. I don't care. They were the best. Never forget it. And the whole time I was there, the 3 years, they were still the best all 3 years. Joining us now is Tom Oates. Oatsy, good evening.
Homer, how are you?
I'm ready, but I need help from you on stuff. You ready?
All right, sure.
All right. Well, I don't have any idea what to think about Wisconsin football. I asked Lukey last week. I don't know who's good. I don't know who's on the team. I don't know how much money they've got. I'm a little worried about Fickell. I liked him as a choice, but I'm concerned that I'm not sure he knows what to do. And so just who's the quarterback? Who's on the team? Do they have enough money? What should people know? Talk to us for however you long about what the status is of Wisconsin football.
Here's the deal in this brave new world of college athletics, Homer, is you don't know who the hell anybody is anymore on teams.
I know Ohio State's good because they got a ton of money.
There's so much roster turnover, and, you know, all, you know, there used to be, when you recruited a player, he might want the school. He might want, like, the facilities. He might like the number of times you're on TV. He might like, you know, all your history of developing professional athletes, whatever. This goes basketball, football, everything. There were all these factors. Now there's only one factor, and it's money. How much are you going to pay me? And consequently, there's an incredible amount of roster turnover, and fans, I think, are really becoming a little disaffected by it.
Well, disinterested because these aren't student athletes. They're representatives.
No.
Professionals playing, representing the school, right?
They're bought and paid for professional athletes.
Right.
And I believe one of the beauties of college athletics, as a fan, as a reporter, whatever, is that you'd see kids come in. They are 18 years old. You know, they didn't know how to do anything. And They there were a few special athletes, but by and large, they had to go through a learning process and a maturation process, both physically and mentally and emotionally. And as a fan, if you followed closely, and certainly you know this as a reporter, you get to know these kids. It's kind of fun to watch that journey. It's fun to watch them mature, and where they're juniors and seniors, they're team spokesmen, and they're really good players. Even though they might have come in as a three-star recruit, they've matured into really good players who can play with anybody in the country. And that journey was just so much fun and such a big part of college athletics, but you don't see it anymore. So the upshot is when you look at Wisconsin right now, most of these players, no one knows them. I mean, no one's seen them play. No one's, you know, how many players are still left over from the Paul Chris, Jim Leonard year? 10 at most on the whole team? I mean, I
don't know.
Guess that might be high. I would guess that might be high. And it's just so hard to tell. Until you start playing games, it's really hard to tell just how good or how or where they're at. My read on it is they have some pretty good players. I think they have the right mindset. I think they were stung by not making a bowl game last year. They've gone back to an offense that is much more palatable for Wisconsin and is a much better fit for Wisconsin than the type of athletes it gets. But I think they're thin. I think they're really thin in a lot of places. That's tough when you have to stand up to the likes of Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, USC, and they're just buying players right and left. And Wisconsin has to use its money wisely. Ohio State, they need a tackle. They can go get a tackle and, pay top dollar. College athletics to me is a little screwed up, and it's made following the Badgers harder, watching the Badgers harder. People are going to, when they roll out the team, August 20, whatever, when they roll out the team, it's going to be a revelation, because a lot of these players, people haven't seen.
All right. Now the problem then becomes also, how do you judge a coach? How do you judge Fickell? And I think it's also necessary to mention the difficulty of the schedule. But again,
let's look at this. First, judging a coach, I go by in this era, it's how well coaches are now defined by how well they've adjusted to this era of college athletics. And look at Greg Gard. Who has adjusted more than Greg Gard? I mean, seriously. All of a sudden, they're playing an up-tempo offense, and you watch a game and you see 10 shots that Bo Ryan would have, had you out of the game so quick you wouldn't have known what hit you. And, Gard just let it go, and that, that's part of the game. You play up-tempo, you fire up some shots.
Yeah, but Fickell tried to do the same thing with his offense on the football team, and it failed terribly.
Fickell went too far.
All right.
Gard still has many of the concepts, trust me, the defensive concepts, even some of the offensive concepts that they've always had. Fickell just went too far. He Don Morton'd it. He brought in Phil Longo, but Fickell basically punted the first 2 years of his tenure by bringing in a coach who ran an offense that didn't even have a remotely fit the players that Wisconsin had on the roster, A, and the kind of players Wisconsin can get, B. It just didn't fit. And he basically punted away the last 2 years. I've always said the biggest question about this era of Wisconsin football is whose idea was Phil Longo? And the fact is, Phil Longo's a pretty damn good football coach, and he's now a head coach. Down in Texas at a smaller school. But he's a good football coach, but he was a horrible fit, just like Don Morton was a horrible fit. Because what they did on offense didn't match what Wisconsin can do and what Wisconsin can get. So basically, I looked at this as a starting over year for Fickell. I really do. I just think he just basically, the last 2 years were lost years because of a horrible decision, and I want to know if he made that decision or Chris McIntosh made that decision or one of the big boosters made that decision. I'd like to know who the hell made the decision.
Well,
it was just a bad mistake.
It has to be him. Paying him a ton of money.
I'm not sure. I know. Huh. I mean, if you listen to Chris McIntosh, during that whole stretch, it was, we have to change the way Wisconsin does things. Well, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? You have to change. Hey, everybody knew they needed a change. Their offense was outdated. But there's a lot of schools in this country running run-first offenses very successfully. They just basically threw the whole thing out and started over, and that was just a really bad mistake. So,
which I know why you're saying this, because Lugie said the same. You have to look at Fickell. This is nothing Fickell had done before. This was new to him, too.
Well, right? That's why I don't understand it. Fickell had played against Wisconsin and coached against Wisconsin for most of the last 30 years or 25 years. He knew how Wisconsin operated. That's why it's a complete mystery to me as to whose big idea this was, but it really set this program.
So who do you
back.
Think?
I think McIntosh's mandate was to change the offense dramatically. And however Fickell read that initiative, they ended up with Phil Longo.
All right.
Now they're back. Jeff Grimes worked for Lance Leipold at Kansas last year. He's a run-first guy, but he's not just a run guy. I mean, there's a pass game that he has and that he coaches, and we'll see. Part of their problem the last 2 years has been their starting quarterback got hurt. And in both instances, when you're running that offense, the offense they were running, everything depends on the quarterback. Now, with this offense, the quarterback's still vitally important, don't get me wrong, but everything doesn't depend on the quarterback. But they had some bad injury luck for 2 years in a row with transfer quarterbacks. Now they have another transfer quarterback, Billy Edwards. But I think they've lessened their reliance on quarterback play, I guess is probably the best way to put that.
Right.
And they have a couple of really promising running backs. I think their offensive line's horribly thin. They really need to cross their fingers there.
How do you know they're
year.
Promising running backs? I thought they had promising running backs the last couple of years, and they.
Well, the one kid played last year and showed some real skill. The other one redshirted. So,
okay.
I've seen him in practice, not this year but last year. I thought both of them have a chance to be really high producing running backs in a good run game.
So will you judge watching this year's team? You've said you've given them a pass on the 2 years, so this is basically his first year. Are you going to watch a line of scrimmage? And this is my question, I think, for everybody who watches him. Like, what? Oatsy, talking with Tom Oates, what? How do you judge? What do you? I want to see players that look like they're pretty good. I mean, we're watching the Badgers go, who stands out? Nobody. They don't have any. Who's special? Nobody.
I want to see some special players emerge. I think you're 100% right on that. I also want to see a return to physicality,
right,
both offensively and
line
defensively,
of scrimmage.
That was totally lost. And I think J.J. Watt dropped that bomb on the team the other day when he talked to him. And he's 100% right. Wisconsin has really lost its identity the last 2 years.
Right. Is that because they lost the identity or the players they got weren't any good?
Part of that, yeah.
All right. Okay.
But the whole Alvarez, Bielema, Chris era was predicated on being a really physical team that was physical enough to stand up to the Ohio States and the Michigans of the world. And that's how you could give them a fight, was you didn't let them push you around. Now, they might have more skill and they might beat you, but Wisconsin did not get pushed around. And the last couple of years, Wisconsin's been pushed around. And I agree with J.J. Watt on that 100%. It's just they have to get back to that. That's how Wisconsin wins. It's not the only thing they have to do, but that's how Wisconsin wins.
So is that because of the players they can recruit, or what makes you say that's how they have to play?
Because they can't recruit like Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. They don't have they didn't have the recruiting ability before. And now that it's just all down to money, they really don't have the ability to recruit with those teams. So they have to take the next level kid, be physical, be developmental, do all those things. And, hey, TJ, the great TJ Van Wee just walked by. Do you know who TJ Van Wee is?
No, I have no idea.
Bo Ryan's first All-American basketball player at Platteville.
At Platteville.
First team.
He's no Rob Jeter. Come on, let's go. Don't be going crazy now.
He played. Actually, TJ and Rob played together.
Yeah, but he was no Rob Jeter. Right? The best player that Bo Ryan ever had at Platteville, I'm assuming, is Rob Jeter.
No, I would not agree with that. Another really good one was Ernie Peavy, who was a Milwaukee area kid.
No, okay.
They had a lot. They had a lot of really good players. TJ was his first team All American. So, and I think he was a year older than Robbie, I'm guessing. So, but anyway, back to the task at hand. They have a really difficult schedule. It's going to be hard to judge them on wins and losses. I think if they win 6 games and go to a bowl, it would be a successful year. But as we've talked, I think there are more important things. They have to establish an identity.
If they can win six games, they'll establish something, because that's going to be tough to do because of the teams they play, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a number of built-in losses just because they're not in the same league with a few of the teams on their schedule, Alabama, Ohio State,
etc. So, rule one from Otsi: Wisconsin wins 6 games, everybody should be happy. Right,
I agree. That I will state.
So if you win 5, you're a little disappointed, but you shouldn't think it's the end of the world.
No, last year's schedule was brutal.
Yes,
this year's schedule is even tougher. Next year's schedule eases up. I mean, and I don't think this is a make or break year for Fickell in any way. There's a lot of pressure on him. Don't get me wrong.
Well, no, I can tell you what it is. He embarrasses the school. He's done. They win 2 games. They win 3 games. It's over.
Well, I don't think. I mean, I think there's 3 or 4 built-in wins on their, schedule.
But if so, there's a certain number of games. They only win 2 games, Otsi. He's gone, right?
What they have to do is stand up physically to the Minnesotas and the Illinois and the Iowas of the world and give themselves a chance to win those games. That's what they have to do. A lot will depend on the quarterback, but a lot will depend on the offensive line, because they're going to go back to a running style. And, you know, Kansas ran the ball really well, and Kansas doesn't have a staid offense that's rooted in the past. Like, you know, I think Chris' offense got very stale toward the end. I think everybody could see that. And Kansas has a vibrant, modern offense that, runs the ball really well. And so I think what you're going to see is a return to a running game, but it's not going to be the 3 yards and a cloud of rubberized tire flex.
Well, no, I got it. I got it from you. 6 will be great. 5, you'll accept 5. You know, you want 6.
I'll accept 5. Bringing Fickell back and giving him another crack at a more manageable
assuming
schedule.
You see some of the other things you're watching.
There's things you want to watch. You want to watch for an offense that reestablishes some of the things Wisconsin used to do. You want to watch for physicality, especially in the front 7. I think the defensive coordinators, I'm a hottest spot myself. Because he's done very little, and the defense was going along swimmingly under Jimmy Leonard, and it's regressed, and it's not as aggressive. They put little pressure on the passer last year. And this is a program that turned out T.J. Watt and Van Ginkle and Zach Bond and all these linebackers that were all over the quarterback, and now they can't even. They can't even get close enough to tell what number the quarterback is. So there's just so much that has been filtered out of the program. Has he recruited spectacularly? Absolutely not. Has he recruited decently? Absolutely. I don't think the fall off shouldn't necessarily be in the type of talent, although very few great players. I mean, the NFL draft doesn't lie, as I often say. And, you know, they had a few great players here, but the, you know, Braylon Allens and the Hunter Wohlers have filtered out of the program. I do think Ricardo Hallman, the cornerback, is an outstanding player. But they need some players to really step up.
All right, I agree.
And it's hard to tell when these players are just coming from all over and X percent of the roster is turning over every year. And these transfers, they're not coming in to sit. They're coming in to play. So there's none of that. You know, you get to watch a kid work in a few series as a freshman and then, you know, bloom into a full-time player as a sophomore and a star as a junior. That's all just out the window now.
All right, I got to take a break, but I want to get a couple minutes from you on the Packers. You got about 5 more minutes?
Okay, about 5 more minutes. That
all
sounds
right.
Good.
Tom Oates, Packers, next. This is the Gary Ellison Homer. Our Gary's on assignment, joined by Tom Oates. I let him use the word that I never use and never will use, physicality. I don't control what other people say, especially someone like Tom Oates, who was the best in Madison when I got there, and I assume he hasn't lost anything. You haven't lost a beat now. I mean, you're getting older, but you haven't lost a step, have you?
I've lost a few yards off my drives.
And that doesn't matter.
As you know, I couldn't afford to do that. So
yeah, this isn't about golf game. This is about analysis of sports teams. You haven't lost anything.
Well, experience still counts for something, Homer, as you know.
Yeah. The podcast again. Oatsy and Lukey is almost, what I would call the podcast. You guys gave it another name.
Almost everything. I didn't give it that name, but almost everything that you see in sports, if you've been around long enough, you've seen it before. And
I would say other than college sports, this what college sports is going through now, you've never seen before. This is new.
Oh, no, this is all new. And like I said, those who are adjusting, it appeared Fickell adjusted well, but maybe he just doesn't have the resources that some of his counterparts do. I don't know. You know, it's obvious after last season that Greg Gard has adjusted well, which kudos to Greg, since he had to do some things differently.
Well, now it appears he's going, as other schools have, international players.
Yeah, I mean, that's
can't do that in football.
You can't do that in football. And he, if you look around, international players are the rage right now. And part of the reason he made additions and changes to his staff is to bring in some coaches who are very familiar with.
Yeah, Kirk Penny was the key.
Kirk Penny and Lance Randall, who has coached European teams, is very well connected as well. So, and Krabenhoff has some connections over there, having played over there. But I would say Kirk Penny and Lance Randall are the two guys that really. Really have the good connections. I'm sure Steensma does because he played some overseas, but he played a lot in the G League and then he bounced around the NBA. So I mean, they've made some really nice additions to their staff. Kirk's New Zealand ties have yielded one player coming this year and another one coming next year.
But I don't know if they have closer to the money you need to be good, or it's different in basketball and football. That's what I was asking you before. It's just really hard to know. I mean, if you don't have enough money, then you're not going to be as good. I don't care who you are. So then how much is that on the coach or take it away?
I don't know how much Wisconsin football has, but I do know how much Wisconsin basketball has. And I would say that it is below. It's in the lower half of the Big Ten and it's probably way in the upper half of the lower half. I mean, it's
right, probably for example, I think Indiana spent more money than Wisconsin did last year.
Oh, no question. I mean, how much did Duke's roster cost it last year in basketball? It had to be $20 million. Well, they aren't even close to that. And few teams are. North Carolina supposedly has already spent $15 million on this year's roster. They're not, you know, that's stupid money.
But you still have to get the right players. The money is no guarantee.
Well, I didn't see either one of those teams winning a national title last year. So,
right.
So you're right. You're right. You still have to get the right players. You have to do the right coaching. And I think you have to, you know, it's going to be harder to maintain a culture, both football and basketball, with all the player movement. But you still have to maintain some kind of a culture where new players are assimilated into the culture mm-hmm. and understand how things work and all that business. So it's a fine line. And these coaches are really at their wit's end.
I don't feel bad for them. They're still getting paid pretty well.
No, they're getting
they'll figure it out.
Well, but it's all come down to money. Like I was saying before, there used to be there were any number of things you could use to recruit. Now it's just what's the bottom line.
But, and we don't really know what the money is. I'm assuming that'll it'll be become more public this year as they're working through and with the NCAA, correct?
Yeah, there's a movement afoot to make everything more transparent. So you don't get, you know, and I mean, the coaches want it because then they're not bidding against phantoms. They know what they're up against when they're bidding for a kid, you know, that type of thing, or what this school ace, what Ohio State spends is willing to spend. Now it's just all hearsay. I mean, you know, throw a number out there that you heard through the grapevine on a player and you'll get denials all around. Well, no, you're right. But everybody just denies everything.
But once the schools, if you're public school, once you're paying a kid, as I think they're going to do this year, then that's going to become public.
Well, there's the $20.5 million that they're able to pay all athletes. And the lawsuits from women athletes have already started, and predictably, and rightfully so. So it's not going to be divided equally. And then there's also the whole NIL, off the record NIL that's still available to athletes. And you cannot tell me that the off the record NIL money won't be a part of the recruiting pitch. So because we've seen since the NIL money came in, that's all NIL money's been used for is to be part of
right.
the recruiting.
But now you have the money that the school can pay, and so they're trying to – the NIL will be more legit than it was in the past because in the past it was 99% phony.
Until the NIL becomes transparent, and I'm talking – not talking the through the school NIL, which is almost what it became, but I think NIL is going to get more murky. Because the schools are paying, but then there's going to be this secondary source of money that is probably going to go totally unreported. And I think I hope that the NCAA can get NIL money, all NIL money under control, at least.
Right. And it's not hard to do. NIL money is all you got to do is say what the person was paid from the company or whatever as to whether or not what they did justified what they were paid in terms of the advertising benefit or whatever to the business.
What if Ohio State tells the NIL to tells the NCAA to take a hike? It's not furnishing any of that information. The NCAA is the most toothless organization, and they did it to themselves, and they don't have any power anymore, and it's all their own fault. They're so short-sighted, and now they don't have any power, and they can't do anything. If Michigan and Ohio State say, we're not reporting.
No, the only hope is that the other schools are, that the other schools complain. I don't know. I just go by what Jay Billis tells me. They're making $20 billion. They'll figure it out. So we'll see. But, yes, that's the NIL is the.
Don't get me started on Jay Billis.
Yeah, get started on Jay Billis. Go for it, MC.
He was the asshole who said NIL money wouldn't be used for recruiting, and a year later, 2 years later, that's all it was being used
was
for.
Was he? Did he actually say that? I'm going to have to look that up. I didn't realize that. Go look it up. I will look it up. All right, let's get to the Packers. I need your help on the Packers. The Packers, right, to me,
gotta,
are very
then
simple.
Go.
All right, then you got to go. Packers are simple. The coach is good. The GM is good. The players are good. But are they good enough to be better than just a good team? And I don't know what's there that's better than good so that they can get past the best in the NFC to get to the Super Bowl. How much would you agree or disagree with that?
I think they have a good team. I think they have a good team. They have a contending team. And as we've seen, it's not necessarily the best team. It's the team that's playing the best at the end of the year. I think there's two people under the gun in Green Bay, and they should be under the gun, and they are. And that's the head coach and the quarterback. The head coach has run a nice program, and he's won a lot of games, but he hasn't done anything in the playoffs. And until Matt LaFleur does something in the playoffs, he's going to be suspect.
But what maybe doesn't have players good enough to win in the playoffs?
They have a very nice roster. Is it the best roster? Our best roster in the league? No, it's not. But you know.
So you like Goody more than LaFleur? Okay.
Yes, I do. I just think both LaFleur and Love, the quarterback, have a lot to prove. Love was not good last year. You can attribute it to injuries.
I do.
Sophomore slump. NFL had book on him and was ready for him. You can attribute it to any dang thing you want. But he wasn't good enough last year. He was good enough the back half of the 23 season. He was not good enough last year. He's got a lot to prove.
So what do they have to do for you to be happy? You said you'll take six.
They have to get somewhere in the playoffs. And I mean, and that
NFC championship game?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Contend. I mean, be a real contender. Not that we were in the playoffs until we met one of the good teams, and then we got drummed out by X number of touchdowns. You know, they have to be better than that, because that's all they've been the last 4 or 5 years.
But then don't they have to be better than Philly or Detroit or?
Yeah, but
okay.
I think they can play with those teams. They have to beat them.
Yes.
They didn't beat the good teams last year. They didn't beat the Vikings. They didn't beat the Lions. They didn't beat the Eagles. They didn't beat good teams. You got to beat good teams to get somewhere.
So why didn't they? You say coach and quarterback. But if the quarterback's healthy and it was injuries last year, then they should be okay. I'm not saying you say that.
I thought the wide receivers and the quarterback both had bad years last year. And the wide receivers, they had that deep group, and it was coming off a promising season, and everybody thought they were going to be great, and then they weren't great, and then Watson got hurt, and then the quarterback got hurt, and they just never developed what I thought was any kind of a real great pass, consistent passing attack.
Right, which should have been better because they had a better running game. Josh Jacobs was outstanding.
I agree. That's what they said, but that didn't materialize.
I know.
So who's that on? It's on the offense.
I would say it's on the head coach. He was supposed to be a guy who was great with plays. Now you give him an even better running game. That should make things better for the offense, but it didn't.
And the quarterback has to be way more consistent than he was.
All right.
All right.
I got it. Thanks for the time, Oatsy. You're the best.
See you, Homer.
Tom Oates. I don't think he's with the Wisconsin State Journal. Doesn't matter anymore. It's just Tom Oates. If you don't know who Tom Oates is, well, sorry. You're listening to the wrong show. 1-800-990-3776. We got a couple minutes left for you, old-fashioned sports talk radio. Because if you don't call in, Pebble, who's going to talk the rest of the time?
You.
Yeah. Next. Gary Ocean, Homer on. My thanks again to Tom Oates. Yes, I do not have a rule that determines what other people on the show can say. I will never use the word physicality. He did. You're physical and tough. That's the way it was for the first 65 years of my life, and that's the way it's staying. I didn't think physicality is a word, but apparently it might be. 1-800-990-3776. You have just a few minutes to call in on the show. I would also like to say Cowboys pass rusher Micah Parsons, he's not being traded. He can say whatever he wants. He can say he wants to become a jockey, whatever. They're not trading him. In the end, all the Cowboys players seem to get the kind of money they want. Parsons is set to make $21 million on the fifth-year option of his rookie deal. So there's no way they're going to trade him. And I think he'll get a contract. I don't understand. If he says he wants to be traded, what he should say, it has nothing to do with money. We're never going to win anything here. As long as Jerry Jones is running things, they're never going to win anything. They've been horrible. When was the last time they made the NFC Championship game? I think it's 1995. So Pebble can look. He got his three rings, two with Jimmy Johnson, one with Switzer, and then he's done nothing but make money, and I mean, they're horrible. It's terrible. And all the players that put up with it, I think almost all of them been paid well. I don't think he's been cheap at all. And I think he'll end up paying Micah Parsons. I don't understand why he waits as long as he does, but Parsons, if he wants to be traded, should say, I want to be traded because I want to win. I ain't ever win anything here, but this wants his money, and I think history would say that he'll get it. Jerry Jones is always paid in the end. Brian in South Milwaukee, you're on 94.5 ESPN, old-fashioned sports talk. I have no idea what Brian's going to talk about.
Well, hey, Homer, it was a great interview with Tom Oates. He hit on a lot of really good points. Just talking about Badger football, I think we're going to see a huge upgrade, especially on the defensive front seven this year. They've done a good job in the portal. They've brought in some pretty good caliber players, not anybody outstanding, but I think some guys that are very solid.
Well, hold on. So have they brought in players a lot better than what they brought in the last couple of years or what?
Yeah, I think they have, especially on the front line. And I think from what I've seen, they're listing their defense not as that big vaunted 2-5 that they've run the last 2 years, which I thought right away out of the chute was, I'm like, what the heck are they thinking running two down linemen in the Big Ten? They're listing it as a 3-4/2-5. So I think they're going to run a lot more three-man fronts, which they're going to need to run in the Big Ten. They've got the kid from Tulane coming in. He's a big tackle. He's going to probably play the nose for them. I say 7-5 is what they're going to finish this year. They're going to have to pull some upsets no matter what. You have to pull some upsets.
I'm willing to listen to everybody because I want to write the stuff down to figure out who actually knows what they're talking about because I don't think anybody knows. And maybe some do, like how good the players are. The one place though I would look, as Oatsy talked about, I'd love to see a list of which schools are spending the most money as to use that as a judgment of where teams are going to be ranked. But, I mean, how weird is it? The guy from Tulane, come on, Tulane? But
yeah,
they could be good. Indiana brought all the players in from James Madison, so you believe Brian is down for 7 wins. Brian, you can come to Ted's and leave any amount of money that you want, $1,000 or less. That's Ted's in Tulsa, 62nd and North. And I will match it in a bet that Wisconsin will not win 7 games. And that's more a reflection of the toughness of the schedule. So 7 or more, you win the bet. Less than 7, I win the bet. Kevin at Ted's takes all the money, and feel free to drop over there whenever you want. Whenever you drop it off, you have to trust me that I'll match it, which I will, up to $1,000.
Got it. Ted's right. In Tulsa. Will do.
You bet. Thanks for the call. 1-800-990-3776. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Don't give the address enough. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. I don't think anybody knows for sure how many games Wisconsin's going to win, but I know for sure, and people that have gone there do, that Fisco Auto Body is so good. How can they be so good? Simple. It's a family business, owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are. It's still in the family, still doing all the work. So imagine the age at which they start doing this stuff. That's why they can be so good on your car. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. You'll like them, and then you'll like me. I like that too. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. to remember the name. Yep. How many bets do you think we've actually had at Ted's after I've set it up?
I must say you have had zero.
One.
One, okay.
I can't even remember what it was. It was so long ago. Everybody talks tough.
But did you win it?
I did win it, yes. But when it comes down to showing up there, putting the money on the line, not up to it. 1-800-990-3776. It doesn't have to be a bet. You're next. And again, if you don't call, I'm talking next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Only a couple minutes left to call in. Gary Ellison on assignment. He'll be back next Friday. I don't know where do we check? Somebody says DraftKings. I should maybe check Pottawatomie. Micah Parsons' next team, the Dallas Cowboys, -300. I'll gladly put up 300 to make 100 on that. I don't know what each place is different. Pebble, can you check to see if Pottawatomie has anything on Micah Parsons' next team? I think I would probably go as high as 400 to win 100. You're not going anywhere. There's no way Jerry Jones is trading him. 1-800-990-3776. That's what DraftKings is saying. The Discount Liquor Twitter poll question, how many wins will Wisconsin need to have this coming season for you to be happy? 7 or more, 68%. Well, you're going to be unhappy. 6, 24.6%. That's what I said. 5, 5.3%. And 4, 1.8%. I'm giving a bit of a cushion or I'm voting on a curve because of how tough the schedule is. And more than anything, I'm in search of trying to figure out where or who has the ability to analyze the college football teams and who's going to be good and how are they doing it. From all the new players, how much money is our school spending? I don't know how anybody can know. I guess I would assume that Ohio State's going to be good. Other than that, who can you assume that's going to be good? Georgia? I don't know. I'm willing to admit it. I don't know how anybody can. I don't know how any information is out there, like with recruiting, who's transferring, who's not transferring, who's coming back. Any update on if I can make some money on Micah Parsons? 1-800-990-3776. If you have found a source where you think that's knowledgeable about what's going to happen in college football.
Well, Penn State's going to be good.
They're
bringing a lot of their the guys that were going to be second and third round or second and third day draft choices last year. They're coming back and they're pulling the Michigan and Ohio State, bringing all the guys back for one last run to see if they can win it all.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sold to the same degree on Michigan. You are?
Michigan?
Yeah.
Michigan's probably going to be somewhere around 9-3, 10-2, somewhere around there.
Right, but Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio. So is this just you acquiring information, or is there anywhere you go where it seems like somebody's keeping track of this
stuff? Is just me acquiring information, yeah.
All right, maybe you're my guy. Okay. How's Wisconsin going to do that?
Wisconsin, I've got them probably finishing like 4-8, probably, to tell you the truth. I mean,
By the way, Pebble, you never have to say, tell the truth. Everything we say is by definition the truth as we see it. We don't make up anything on this show. You also cannot use physicality.
No, I won't. No.
Is there another cality that's out there that people use? Intelligent cality? All right, so if you can help me out on, I'm willing to go as high as -400 to bet 100 on Micah Parsons' next team being the Dallas Cowboys. You didn't find it or anything,
I didn't
find
anything, yeah.
It's just hard to know. I'm not driving to Chicago, which I think I have to do for DraftKings, don't you? In order to play.
I believe so, yeah, for DraftKings, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So my thanks to Tom Oates. Go to ESPN Wisconsin app. He's fantastic.
Wisconsin On Demand is up there right now.
Hasn't lost anything. According to one website, Packers are the 11th best odds to land Parsons. I got a better chance of signing with the Packers than he does. ESPN National. Remember, hold on. We got to do it every show. John Anderson on the 2025 Milwaukee Brewers. Do we got it up there, or are we going to be late? We're going to be late. Sorry, we'll do that. Remember that from now on. Maybe five times every show. Get enough angry bees. The Bears going down next.